please, and turn with me to the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 9, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to read one verse of Scripture, and then we'll be looking through this chapter together tonight. So if you'll stay here with me, that'll be great. Matthew chapter number 9, verse number 1. The Bible says, speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." And I want to preach tonight on this thought, his own city. Let's pray together. Father, please have your way. I pray that you'll work and move in this service. Our hearts have already been blessed by the music, the singing. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for the ability you give to people. Lord, I thank you for songs that you've given. Lord, I pray that you'll help us now as we look into thy word, to the scriptures. Lord, that you'll encourage us through it. And I pray that you'll help us to, it'll help us to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to thee. It'll help us to make it through this week. Lord, all the battles we'll face, help us to realize what it means to belong to thee. We'll thank you and we'll praise you. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We look at Matthew chapter number 9. We have in this chapter the call of Matthew. This upsets the Pharisees. They didn't like this when Matthew was called by the Lord to follow him. But then when Jesus, after Matthew was called by the Lord, Jesus accepted Matthew's invitation to eat with him and with all of his friends. And this time the Pharisees weren't only upset, they were insulted. They didn't like the thought of this. This was against their religious dignity. They could not believe that this one that claimed to be the Messiah was going to go and eat with the publican and sinners. And they said to the Lord, says, "Why eateth your master with publican and sinners?" And Jesus heard that. And when he heard that, this is what he said. And the Bible says in verse number 12, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And then Jesus told them that they had come to call sinners to repentance. And so when we begin to understand this, it helps us to realize the very purpose in which the Lord Jesus Christ came. The primary purpose of our Lord coming into this world was not to heal the sick. It was not to open blinded eyes. It was not to cause the deaf to hear or to cleanse the lepers or even to raise the dead. The very purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world was to seek and to save that which was lost. And when the Lord robed himself in flesh and came into this world, he came with the purpose to redeem mankind back to himself. So for those that will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, there's a city where we're all going to be going. And we call it heaven. Amen. We call it a wonderful city. It's a wonderful place. It's a new Jerusalem. The Bible teaches us about that in the book of Revelation. But we see here just something where we can refer to it and get an idea about some things. Now, we're talking in chapter number 9 about his own city, which is Capernaum. Literally, this is talking about Capernaum. But there were some things that took place while he was in his own city that I think will help us to understand just a little bit more about what heaven's going to be like. And I want us to look at it tonight, and with the help of God, I want us to be encouraged by it. The Bible says in verse number 1 that he came into his own city, but then I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 27. It says that Jesus departed thence. So while he was in his own city, there were some things that happened. There were some things that took place. And then he leaves that city. But I want you to think about what heaven's going to be like tonight. I want you to be encouraged by the things of God and the Word of God and the work of God. And I want you to think about eternity. Where are you going to spend eternity? There's only two places. It's either heaven or hell. You say, "Well, preacher, I don't believe that." Well, I can't help you then. But I want to tell you, if you can't believe that, you're headed straight towards hell. But God has a place called heaven for you. It's a wonderful place. It's a place of matchless beauty. It's a place where the walls are jasper, the gates are pearl, and the streets are pure gold. It's a place where there'll be no more heartache and no more sin and no more pain and no more sorrow. It's a wonderful place. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If but were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And he is preparing a place, his own city. He's preparing a place in heaven for those that put their faith in the Lord. Between verse 1 and verse 27, we see four things that he gives us that is a picture of this heavenly city that we're thinking about. As we think about Capernaum, and of course we realize that Capernaum's not heaven. There's no doubt about it, because the Lord Jesus said that if he had done the works in Sodom and Gomorrah that he done in Capernaum, then their judgment would have even been worse. So he did great works in Capernaum. But when we think about his own city, we think about some things that take place. May the Lord help us and encourage us through this and give us a picture of our heavenly home. First of all, I want you to see verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, well, let's begin in verse number 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk?' But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." I want you to see, first of all, in his own city, the sick are sick no more. The sick are sick no more. When you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to a place where there will be no more sickness. We see in the Bible that there was a man that was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ that was sick of the palsy. He was lying on a bed. He was so weak. He was so sick. He was so pitiful that he could not get to the Lord Jesus himself. And they carried him on his bed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ touched him and healed him and made him a whole man, a man that was so very sick, he was helpless. We think about this. This man that was sick of the palsy arises from his bed, from this sickness, and goes to his own house. Dear friends, I know you may be facing some sickness, you may be facing some battles, you may be facing some things you never thought you would face in your life, but you're going to a city, you're going to a land, you're going to a place where the sick will be sick no more. Where the touch of God will be so real to you that you'll have a perfect body with a perfect mind and be in a perfect place for time and for eternity. Oh, when I think about that, I think about his own city. I begin to realize what the touch of God has done in my life. I may have some dreaded disease touch my body. I may have some incurable happening take place in my life. But I want you to know that this old body is not supposed to last forever. This old body was given to me just for a little while. But one of these days I'm going to have a brand new body. And all the sickness that this world can throw, dear friends, is going to be absent from that wonderful place. Where is that place? It's his own city. It's heaven. It's the glorious place. It's the glorious abode of all those that put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Dear friends, when we think about his own city, every afflicted soul, every cancer patient, every heart patient, everyone's going to rise up and they're going to have a glorified body that's going to be free from sickness. The sick are sick no more in his own city. Oh, it makes you homesick tonight, doesn't it? The only sickness you can associate with heaven is being homesick. Amen. I'm telling you, when I think about it, I'm ready to go. See, why is that? Well, every time I speak to someone that I love that's going through some kind of a sickness, it just makes me long for heaven. You know, when you see somebody that's battling the cancer, it just makes me think, Lord, it sure would be nice for you just to come on and get us out of here and be in heaven forever. I think I could walk on a street of pure gold and see the walls of jasper, but more than anything, just to be in his presence. By the way, I believe we can dwell in his presence here and now, but to be able to see, that'll be pretty good, huh? Heaven. There's a song, I know the Kidwells used to sing it, and I'm sure others sing, "Heaven, Can You Imagine?" Think about that. You ever try to think about heaven? I've tried. You know, I go down through there, and I start reading the description of heaven when you get over there at the end of the Revelation, and I just begin to imagine it. And then it just gets so good, I think, it's too good to be true. You know, you almost think that. But then I realize, that is heaven. It is too good to be true. The sick will be sick no more. Think about it. How many of y'all hurt when you got up this morning out of the bed? Your back said, you know? That's me. I get up and my back goes, And my leg, I got this bad spot in my back and it shoots through my leg sometimes. And man, I mean, it just hurts bad. I got a, you may think this is funny, but it's not funny. This thumb absolutely drives me crazy. You know, Emily grabbed my finger today and I thought I was going to go to the ground. Emily. You know who Emily is, right? Emily. She grabbed, and I thought, oh, I didn't want anybody else to see that, you know? So I went, oh, you know? It's an everyday thing. I've told my wife about it for 2 months now, haven't I? I said, this thing hurts. It hurts bad. You know, honestly, it hurts. And sometimes I try to grip something and it just falls out of my hand. You say, what is it? It's old age. That's what it is. It's old age. I'm getting old. But I'm telling you, in heaven, it'll be all right. In heaven, I will not have any bad. In heaven, there'll be no cancer. In heaven, you'll have perfect eyesight. In heaven. See, this is what heaven's all about. And there's so many people playing with their eternity, and they're thinking, well, I have time to waste. I'm going to sow my wild oats, and then I'll get right with God. Well, I want to tell you something. There's people that die every day sowing their wild oats, thinking they've got plenty of time, but before they make the right decision, they spend it, they go out into eternity. And dear friends, it's a terrible place, eternity without the Lord, because that's hell. It's an awful place, isn't it? You say, well, you know, you get a little bit more excited about heaven than I do. Well, I'm on my way there. You know? I'm on my way there. I can't help but get a little bit excited about it. Well, we better move on or we'll be here till 10:30 or 11 o'clock. And we're going to somebody's house tonight and eating a little bit. So we got 5 more minutes and I'll be done preaching. The sick are sick no more in his own city. Then I want you to see, secondly, the sinners are sinners no more. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. The Bible says, and Jesus passed forth from thence. He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of the custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, if you were to go into this town of Capernaum and try to pick somebody out, Matthew was not a likely candidate for Jesus to call to follow after him. It just shows you the grace of God. Matthew was a tax collector, and if you study the Bible, you're going to find that tax collectors were crooked people, and they were hated by everyone. Not much has changed in life, huh? Those that collect taxes, nobody really cares for those people. But anyway, he was a tax collector. And Matthew could have been called in that town and in that setting and in that situation, he was looked at as being the worst sort of sinner. But Jesus called him to follow him, and he answered that call. By the way, that's what happens when we get saved. The Lord calls out to us, and we answer that call. We don't have to shed great tears of great agonizing sorrow. It's just understanding that he is the Lord, and that we are a sinner, and by faith, we put our trust in what Jesus Christ has done in our life. We see the call of Matthew. Here he is. He's a man that everybody looked at and they thought, this is the worst sort of sinner. But he answered the call and he followed the Lord Jesus Christ and he prepared a feast for the Master. And he invited all of his friends and Jesus went and sat with them. Isn't that an amazing thing? The Lord Jesus goes and sits amongst the sinners. And it was that day, the Bible teaches us that Matthew left the receipt of the customs never to go back to a life of cheating and crookedness. See, that's what happens when the Lord saves you. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That day Matthew left the receipt of the customs. He left that cheating and lying and crookedness. And he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. This sinner was a sinner no more. You say, you mean that he never sinned again? You understand what I'm saying. Look, when the Lord sees me, and I, by the way, I'm not perfect yet. I'm headed that way. You say, when will you get there? When Jesus comes or when I die and I'm with the Lord. I'll not be perfect until that time. But when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. That's pretty neat, isn't it? He doesn't see me as a sinner. He sees me as a saved man that's followed him. What a life. What a Savior. What a Lord I have. But when we get to heaven, I want you to know, even this old sinful flesh is going to be gone, and the sinners will be sinners no more. Hey, you know how you have that problem? You know how you have that nagging sin that bothers you, that aggravates you, that runs after you? By the way, we all have our besetting sins. None of us are holier than thou. None of us are more righteous than everyone else. None of us are better than anyone else. We all have a problem with sin. We all have a problem with the flesh. We all have a problem with all these different things. Sometimes it's what we see with their eye. Sometimes it's what we listen to with their ear. Sometimes it's what we say with our mouth. Sometimes it's what we do with their feet. Sometimes it's what we do with their hands. Sometimes it's what we do not do with their hands and what we do not do with their feet. But every one of us have a problem with sin. But when we get to his own city, I want you to know, those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we'll never battle sin. No, not one second, not one iota, not one moment of sin will be there, for we're going to be in his own city in heaven forever and forever. What a place heaven's going to be. His own city is what happens in his own city. What a time it's going to be when we get there. He invites all of his friends to come and sit down with Jesus to know the Master. I want to tell you what a time that must have been. We're all sinners. We're saved by grace if we've trusted the Lord. We're subject to sin. But boy, when we get there, sin and all our sinning days are going to be over. We'll never battle it again. I look forward to that day. You know what happens to me? I wake up in the morning and sin is there to tempt. I go out into the whatever I'm doing and sin is all around. You know? I mean, you can't look at a billboard. You can't watch a television show. By the way, you know, some people say you ought to get rid of TV. I think the best thing that we could ever do in our lives is get rid of the television, but I'm not willing to do it yet, you know? I'm like my dear friend, Brother Tony Hudson. He said, you pray for me. He said, I'm the only preacher in the world I know that don't believe in television, have nine of them in my home, you know? But you watch that stuff, and it's just alluring, isn't it? What is it that allures you? What is it they glorify the most? What is it? Sin, isn't it? You know, what's the funniest commercials on TV? You know what it is without me saying it, without getting into it. You know, it's sad. They make it look like a great life. They don't show you the end of that liquor bottle or the end of that beer can. They don't show you the cars wrapped around the trees. They don't show you innocent lives that have been taken because somebody decided to drink a beer or two. They don't show you that stuff. They just get you laughing and think, huh, pretty good. You know? I want to tell you something. There's nothing good about sin. Not one good thing about sin. And by the way, you know what they try to do? They try to make us look at everybody else. And, you know, men, we have a problem with homes breaking up in America because men are looking at all these pictures on these billboards and they think, I want my wife to look like that, and they don't. Or women look and say, I want my husband to look like that, and they don't. Listen, that's sin. That's sin. But in heaven, there'll be no billboards like that. In heaven, we'll not have all these problems. In heaven, there'll be no more sin. What a day. What a time. I'm like John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go, aren't you? Listen, I know the battles I face with my flesh. I know the things that come after me and that charge after me, and I'm ready to be away from all of it. He hasn't chosen to take me out yet, but he might. He might. If he chooses for me to die before what you would think would be my time, I want you to know God makes no mistakes. The sinners are sinners no more. Then I want you to see, thirdly, the seekers are seekers no more. I like this thought. The Bible says in verse number 22, but Jesus turned him about And when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Here's a dear lady that had tried every means to be made whole, but she was none the better. Still just as sick. Another portion of scripture that writes about her said that she had spent all that she had on many physicians. She had went to every doctor. She was still sick. She was still battling it. And then she heard about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to town, and she desperately wanted to get to Jesus just to touch His garment. She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, if I may but touch His garment, verse 21 says, I shall be whole. And dear friends, her seeking ended when by faith she touched His garment and was made whole. Sometimes we get so hungry to see our Lord face to face. We think about what it would be like to touch His hands, to touch His feet, and to be able to touch His brow and feel where the scars are there, where the nails nailed Him to the cross, and that nail went through His feet, and that crown of thorns was on His head, and we begin to think about what it would be like to be there. Well, I want you to know, there's coming a day, not only will we not have to think about it, we'll be in His presence. I've wondered what it's going to be like. I wish I could tell you. There's times I picture being able to walk hand in hand with the Lord. Will it happen? I don't know. But I know I'm going to be with Him. And I'm going to be in His presence. And those hours that I've called upon God, just saying, God, let me know that You're there, because I'm going through a dark time, or Lord, I'm facing some battles, or Lord, I'm facing some heartache, and God, I need to know that You're there. Well, I want you to know it won't be that way when I get to heaven. I'll not have to seek Him, for I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be in His presence. What's it going to be like? You know, we're going to be there forever. I know. Time to me right now seems to be fast. I've got a boy that became a teenager today. I've got a daughter that's 15. You know, that's hard for somebody that's just 21. Sometimes I feel like that's all I ought to be. But I don't know. I can't fathom eternity. I can't fathom forever. Can you? See, I'm so used to measuring everything by time. Right? You know, somebody says, well, how old are you? I tell them in years how old I am. I'm 40 years old. 40. Just a young guy, you know? Just a babe. Just a pup, right? That's a good time for somebody to say amen. Amen. Especially some of you old geezers. No, I'm just kidding. Brother Mickey, amen. You know, I can't fathom eternity. God tells us to measure our time in days. Right? He doesn't say years, He says days. Measure our time in days. And so, I think about it. I think there's 365 days in a year. There's, you know, 12 months in a year. There's 30 or 31 days in every month except for February, right? And so we do that. But there's coming a time where it's going to be eternity. I can't imagine how long eternity is. Can you imagine how long eternity is? What's forever? I can't imagine it, because this body gets older. And see, that's why we can't fathom eternity. Do you understand? Now, I'm hesitating here on purpose. You can't fathom eternity, because we're so used to this body aging, we can't imagine what it's like to live forever. Thank God we can't imagine what it's like to live forever, because if this body had to live forever, I'd be hurting. I'm telling you, life would not be good for me. I can't imagine 969 years old. Poor old Methuselah, you know? I mean, good night alive. That's a long time. But here's what I'm thinking. Somewhere in eternity, I'm going to walk hand in hand with Jesus. Amen. There's going to be plenty of time to do it. Sometimes I can imagine it daily. I know. I just can't fathom it. But do you ever just fall on your knees or fall on your face or cry out to God and you're seeking Him? And it's like you're almost saying, Lord, I just need to know You hear me. Now, the Bible teaches us He hears us. Sometimes I think we're actually wrong in thinking that God does not hear us. Now, if we regard iniquity in our heart, He does not hear us. If we have sin in our life, God does not hear our prayer. You understand that, right? But when we're truly seeking the face of God, God says He hears us. And so sometimes I think we get a little bit sinful there when we just don't trust Him. But sometimes there's just like you're talking and you're thinking, does He really hear me? And then we'll even do something silly like, Lord, if You do, let somebody knock on the door. You know, I mean, you know, you do stuff like that. But there's going to be a day where I won't have to wonder. I'll be talking with Him. And He'll be talking with me. See, the seekers are seekers in His own city. That's what happens. The seekers are seekers no more. This lady was seeking the Lord. And she said, boy, if I could just get close enough to touch His garment. And when she touched Him, she was made whole. But in heaven, it won't be. Boy, if I could just get close enough to touch. I want to tell you, I'm going to be with Him every day with the Lord. But then finally, the saints will sleep no more. The Bible says in verse number 25, but when the people were put forth, He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Now we're talking about sleep here, death. The Lord Jesus arrives at this ruler's house, and there's beautiful stories and beautiful sermons, beautiful messages in each one of these. But He arrives at the ruler's house, and they were preparing for a funeral. And they said to this young girl, They said she's dead. But Jesus says she's just asleep. The Bible teaches us that they laughed at Him in one place in the Scriptures. The Bible says in verse 24, and they laughed Him to scorn. See, the Lord knew what He was getting ready to do, didn't He? The Bible says in verse number 24, He said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. The world says that when Christians that are buried are dead, that they exist no more. But the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. These old bodies are asleep. The Bible teaches us that. Our soul, our spirit goes to be with the Lord. These bodies certainly do. They return to the ground. But the Bible teaches us that the dead in Christ shall rise. Go read it, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. The Bible teaches us that those that are asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ are going to rise up. We're going to be in heaven forever. We're going to be in a place of perfect rest, in a place of perfect beauty. Where is this place? It's in His own city. It's heaven. It's this wonderful place. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a day, we call it the rapture of the church. The Lord Jesus is going to return for the bride. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together. I want you to think about it. This is what's going to happen in heaven. The sinners are sinners no more. The seekers seek no more. The saints will sleep no more. You think about all this. It's going to be a wonderful time. I'd hate to miss it if I were you. But if you were me, you wouldn't miss it because I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus is real to me. He's my friend. But more importantly than that, He's my Savior. There was a day when I trusted Him. And because of that, I'm headed towards heaven. And one day, I'll be in His presence. Father, we thank You for loving us. And I thank You for the time You've given to us to be in this place. I ask You to help us tonight. I pray for those that are here that do not have this assurance of heaven. Lord, as they think about their eternity, Lord, we reveal to them there's only two places, heaven or hell. Lord, we realize according to Your word, just as sweet and wonderful and precious as heaven is, that's how horrible and awful and dreadful hell will be. So Lord, I pray for that one that's here tonight that does not know that heaven's going to be their home, that they would trust Thee by faith. I pray for those of us that are saved, help us to live our lives.